This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Bob Holsworth is the founder and president at VirginiaTomorrow.com. He joins me every Monday afternoon to talk a little Virginia politics. Bob, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great, Coy. How are you this week?
Well, we're doing okay. We're doing good. It seems like we got one tragedy after another coming out of this town lately, and we certainly have it this afternoon. Just a major story here, a sad story. Not much information is available at this point, but we have a young woman at the University of Virginia who's dead. Her roommate found her body this morning.
Just extraordinarily sad to hear about these things, and it just seems we've heard a lot too much about these at Virginia colleges and universities for the past few years.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Bob, let's talk a little politics. Now, speaking of colleges and universities, the big news politics-wise is that tuition rates are skyrocketing, and you know, people are asking, is Virginia legislators, are they balancing their budget on the backs of college students and their parents?
Clearly, Coy, this is going to become an issue that's going to be extraordinarily large in the upcoming legislative session next year. You know, we've seen a number of universities raise tuition by double digits. I think VCU raised it by 24% for in-state students last year. And, you know, at University of Virginia, they raised it almost 10%. And, in fact, you know, a couple of members of the board said that support from the state is so low that when the stimulus money runs out next year, the increase could even be higher. So my guess is that you're going to hear a lot of parents and students talking to their legislators, and when the assembly comes back in town, they're going to want to do something or say something about this. And Bob McDonald is going to be forming in the next couple of weeks a higher ed commission to look at the funding model for Virginia universities, because, you know, during the campaign, the governor said that these tuition increases are essentially, you know, a tax on Virginia's middle class, and that's obviously what's happening.
Yeah, we're talking with Bob Holsworth, VirginiaTomorrow.com, and it truly, let's just underscore that fact. I mean, that the students who pay tuition and want to go to college, many of them, you know, working to pay their own way. A lot of parents writing checks, want to make sure their kids have good opportunities in life. They've worked hard in high school. They've made it to this level, and they want to see them get a college degree. But they are making up the balance for the fact that the state doesn't have the money to invest in higher education.
No, exactly, Coy. And you know, and beyond that, at times the universities don't handle this particularly well. You know, I've been quite impressed, in fact, by the way UVA has handled it and the comments that Haywood Fralin has made over the years in the paper. But VCU, they had a board chair essentially saying after the 24% tuition hike that percentages don't mean anything when you're, or percentages are meaningless when your tuition rates are relatively low. And as you said, you know, just talk to the kid who's working two jobs to get a college degree, or the parent who's just lost a job in the recession and is trying to think of ways to scrape up the dollars, and you know, and tell them that percentages are meaningless.
Yeah, sounds like that board member's a little out of touch.
I mean, it was the chair of the board.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, and VCU was the big headline story, 24%. But rates are also going up all around the state.
Oh, exactly, and you know, I think Virginia is very proud and justifiably so of the fact that we have a great system of higher education. The University of Virginia is constantly ranked in, you know, the top 20, top 25 of national schools. We certainly don't want to lose those ratings. We want to maintain this system. But the fact is that we've been disinvesting in higher ed for quite some time. You know, and as Governor McDonald points out, this has also happened under the last two Democratic administrations. So, you know, it's hard to say that, you know, this is a place where the Republicans won't fund things because the Democrats have been doing so, that the reality is over the last 8 years, state support for higher education per student has gone down.
It's really amazing that we've gotten to the point where even investing in education has gotten to be some big government scheme that, you know, that, as you point out, the right and the left seem opposed to it. It's amazing that we're to this point where any government expenditure is seen as bad.
Well, you know, what's so curious about this, Coy, is the fact that, and I think Governor McDonald has made this a signature element in his campaign plans, is that, you know, education, and particularly higher education, is even more and more necessary now to maintain a region and a state that's globally competitive. And indeed, Governor McDonnell wants to raise the bar. He wants to make Virginia, you might say, a smarter state by increasing the number of Virginians who have 2 and 4 year degrees by a very substantial margin. And it's going to be very difficult to do that if we are in some ways shutting out a lot of the kids who would be getting those degrees. That you know, one of the things that I worry about is that when you see a headline that says 24% increase, you begin to think the college is unaffordable for you, even if there might be some you know, very good financial aid packages. You know, when I went to college, I was a first-generation college student in my family. My parents didn't know very much about different colleges other than they thought it was a good idea that I should go to one. And the fact of the matter is that at that time it was a pretty affordable proposition. And now it's getting tougher and tougher for people of marginal means and, you know, modest economic resources to send a child to college without going into great debt. You know, the VCU, for example, at the moment has an average student debt of $20,000 when these kids are getting out of school. And that's before the 24% increase.
Just as a sidebar, we're talking with Bob Holdsworth, VirginiaTomorrow.com. The phone lines are open for you at any moment, 977-1070. As a sidebar, Bob, I'm thinking of, you know, in some states like Georgia, when they put in the lottery, they were committed that lottery funds would go to pay for higher education. They didn't play a shell game with the money like they did in Virginia and, you know, take some money out as they were putting money in. As a result, you have the Hope Scholarship in Georgia that every one of my nieces has taken advantage of, where they basically make sure if you get the good grades enough, you can go to a state school and the state will invest in you with that, out of that lottery money.
Well, you know, Georgia had a long way to go, and that was just an excellent move in order for Georgia to kind of make up some of the ground it had lost to states like Virginia. But the fact of the matter is that we have some schools that have great programs and the financial capacity to offer financial aid. I think UVA's Access Virginia program is really a national model and does a fabulous job.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the fact is that UVA is not the university that has the largest number of Virginia undergraduates in it right now. You know, we're talking about GMU, VCU, schools that, you know, have 30,000 students, 80 to 90% of whom are Virginians. And if these schools are in the process of raising tuition by 10, 15, 20, 25% year over year, what's going to happen to access for the students they serve? And, you know, and at the end of the day, that's not good for the Commonwealth, because we're better off if we can have more and more students getting degrees from Virginia's extraordinary universities.
Yeah, absolutely. And they tend to stay around in their communities and in the Commonwealth and reinvest their education and their new skills in their communities. How do community colleges fit into this whole thing?
Well, Coy, I think community colleges are going to more and more be the place where we're going to be looking to take up a lot of the slack that the four-year institutions and the doctoral institutions, you know, have trouble doing right now. In fact, Corey, if you take just a look at the numbers, you know, for example, if you wanted to ask what institution of higher ed has the largest enrollment of Virginia by at least 20,000 students, the answer is Northern Virginia Community College. you know, that has over 50,000 students right now. And this is the case in a number of places around the country. Miami-Dade, Maricopa Community College in Arizona. You're talking about places there that have 100,000 students. So my sense is that we really are going to have to invest in the community colleges, not only for workforce development, but for really trying to find some way of ensuring that all Virginians have a shot at higher ed. And these community colleges often do a great job. They have very dedicated faculty. They themselves are woefully underfunded right now. And the fact is that I think they're going to play a larger and larger role in Virginia higher education over the next 20 years.
Yeah, it's certainly an alarming situation that we have found ourselves in with some of the country's best, you know, colleges and universities and community college system, and yet they're woefully underfunded to the point where, you know, we could start really seeing some serious problems moving forward.
Yeah, this is really a big issue, Coy, because over the years Virginia's developed a great system, but in part I think actually that we're going to have to do something about developing a state policy and not just a system that's so totally decentralized, particularly on tuition. We're going to have to find some way of utilizing state support to keep tuition for Virginians and financial aid for Virginians at a reasonable level, because if we don't do that, we're really going to have a problem. And my guess is that you're going to hear a lot of legislators are going to be hearing about these kind of increases from their constituents. And they're going to come back next January, and they're going to have something to say about it.
Well, let's hope so. We're talking with Bob Holsworth. The website is virginiatomorrow.com. Bob, before we let you go, your thoughts about the recent news that UVA's Ed Burton, a longtime member of the VRS board, was interviewed in the Richmond Times-Dispatch. He also did an extensive interview the other morning right here on WINA, sharing his thoughts about a recent appointment by Governor McDonnell.
Yeah, Governor McDonnell appointed Diana Cantor to the Virginia Retirement System Board, and Professor Burton was quoted in the Richmond Times-Dispatch, and he kind of modified the quote a little bit in his interview on WINA, suggesting that Diana Cantor was not qualified to be on the board, and he's now said he really meant not qualified to be chair of the board. My sense is that it was an unfortunate comment for two reasons. The first reason is that Diana Cantor is simply eminently qualified. She ran the Virginia College Savings Plan. She is well known for her financial prowess and has been seen by almost everybody as an extremely talented, fair-minded, fiscally responsible individual. But secondly, my sense is that what Burton really has in mind is some concerns about what's happening to the retirement system, not only for state employees, but for our many local government employees and school teachers across Virginia, and is worried that it's being underfunded and being raided in some ways. His worries were echoed during the last session by Senator Stosch, who put in legislation ensuring that some of the money taken out of VRS would be repaid and repaid with interest. So it seems to me that Burton has an absolute obligation and a right, but even more than a right, an obligation to speak out as a trustee if he feels that the system is being jeopardized in any way by some of the political calculations that are going on. It's unfortunate that this got personalized in the, with an individual of the stature and caliber of Diana Cantor, who's, I'm sure, going to be an independent-minded thinker and is going to pursue things that are for the good of the Virginia retirement system and pursue an agenda in that direction. And my sense is that what Burton is really concerned about got in some way subordinated to this flap over an individual that I'm not sure he can defend his objection to.
Hey, Bob, before we let you go, the Attorney General Cuccinelli has changed the Virginia seal to cover the breast of this classical warrior. I can't remember her name, but she's fighting tyranny and... What's the word in Richmond about
this? Well, he released a statement this morning, or just this afternoon, Coy, basically saying that he was just buying a pin for members of his staff that essentially did not was taken from a flag that he has in his office, that he did nothing to the Virginia seal, and that since there's been so much of a flap about it, he's not even going to use the pins. The Democratic Party responded, of course, not by lauding Mr. Cuccinelli for anything he's done, but saying that since he became Attorney General, Virginia is no longer quoted in Forbes magazine, but is showing up all too often on The Daily Show. My sense is that this flap is over, given what the Attorney General said and did today. But don't expect the Democrats to lighten up anytime soon on the guy.
Bob Holsworth, the founder and president at VirginiaTomorrow.com. He joins us every Monday afternoon to talk a little Virginia politics. Thank you, Bob. Have a great week.
You too. Great to be with you, Coy. Take care. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.